and are taught the false doctrine, the damnable doctrine of evolution. I want to talk about evolution again the third time. And I want to talk about it again after this. Amen. I think that evolution is very important. If you don't believe that God created everything, you don't believe He created you, then you're your own boss. Then you can do as you please. But there is a God, and His name is Jesus, and He did create us, and He, hallelujah, is in control. Praise God. Praise God. I stand on record. I hate the doctrine of evolution, and it's a lot worse than a lot of people think it is. Amen. And I love the doctrine of creation, and it's a lot greater than people think it is. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So for you that haven't studied evolution, and by the way, I am not going to talk on the theory of evolution, the mechanics of evolution, and all the things that they teach in the classroom and why this bug did this and this plant grew that and so on. We're not going to talk about that at all. I want to give you a crash course on creation. It's right there in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, and it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Praise the Lord. God made everything, and he created man last of all, so he wouldn't take credit for helping God create all things. But they're doing it today, aren't they? Yes, they are, I think. Okay, let me try this one too. My cousin and I think it's plenty loud. Okay. But this verse, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear, Hebrews 11:3, eliminates the need for a course on evolution. And somebody said to me one time when I told them that, and this was an atheist who was a customer of mine, and we became friendly toward each other. And we were in a place one time and arguing or debating or discussing, maybe that's a kinder word, the doctrine of creation versus evolution. And when I made the statement that through faith we understand, he said, that's a cop-out. That's a cop-out. He said, you're too lazy to study evolution, and you're too passive to want to learn. And he said, you Christians are a bunch of dummies. I said to him, I'm not too lazy to study evolution. I'm too smart to waste my time. Praise the Lord. And then I continued, perhaps you're too lazy to study the scriptures, and perhaps you're too passive to learn about Jesus. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I said, maybe it's you that's copping out. Well, the conversation went on, and he said to me, you don't let your children dance, and you don't let your children party, and you don't let your children go to movies. You're too protective of your children. How will they ever live when they enter the real world? Real world. My answer? I said, have you ever attended Pentecostal Assembly Church? No. Have any of your children ever attended our Sunday school? No. I said, you are too protective of your children. And what you call the real world is only temporary. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. We have an eternal kingdom. Praise God. Then he said to me, God didn't create you. You needed a crutch, so you created him. Do you know what my answer to that was? How do you get out of that? When he says, you needed a crutch, and so God is your crutch, Jesus is your crutch. I said, yes, sir, he sure is. I sure did need a crutch. I sure did need a crutch, and I still do. I said, I'm weak, and I lean on Jesus, and he has never let me down. And then I took a look at him, and I said, what's that between your fingers? He said, a cigarette. I said, crutch, huh? What's that bottle you're holding? And he said, that's a bottle of beer. And I said, crutch, huh? So He's got all kinds of crutches. He's got cigarettes. He's got beer. He's got booze. He's got dope. He's got drugs. He's got parties. And they all fail, and they all let him down. And he admitted it, that it all let him down. Amen. And then at the end, buddy, I said, you get cancer and cirrhosis of the liver, and you get a burned out brain, and you get a broken home, and all kinds of wonderful things like that. Because you don't believe in God, and you don't believe God created things. I said, no, I didn't create God. He created me. And he is a faithful creator, and I can learn on him. And I said, but he's much more than a crutch to me. He's my Lord, and he's my God. He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He's my very life. He's my friend, my lifelong friend. And then I told him, we sing a chorus in our church, he's everything they told me. He's everything and more. Mortal tongue could not reveal the story about this Savior I adore. And I said, and we also sing in a songbook, and it says, leaning on the everlasting arm. I said, yes, sir, I have a crutch, and he has never let me down. Praise the Lord. I repeat, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Men boast when they build a pulpit, when they build a church, when they build a car, when they build a bridge, when they build a skyscraper. Men boast, but they made those things out of something. God made everything out of nothing. God made everything out of absolutely nothing. Now, let's boast about our God. Let's not boast about what we can do. Hallelujah. I want to make a statement. The material universe is understandable only on the basis of faith. If you're going to try to understand this universe, the only way you're going to understand it is on the basis of faith. Amen. One of our married young men, he's here tonight, who was attending college here in Eau Claire, raised his hand with a question during an open discussion period and asked his professor, if the Big Bang theory of the original creation is true, where did the material that banged come from? It takes a lot of courage to ask a question like that, but I thought it was excellent, and I was so proud of our saint here. And so the educated, dignified, omniscient professor answered. You know what omniscient means? That means you know all things. Okay, so this educated, dignified, omniscient professor answered. Everybody listening? Are you ready for this profound answer to a complex question? Such wisdom. Here's his answer. Brother Steve Bondelli, you're going to love this. I mean, this guy's got wisdom. On the verge of omniscience. Less than 1%, of course, but... So he answered the young Christian man from our church in the classroom. Young man, that is a non-scientific, unethical question. Come on, somebody laugh. That's laughable. Ha ha ha. In the name of education, what an answer. What an answer. That's a non-scientific, unethical question. When I heard that, but brother, I wrote it down word for word as much as I could. Praise the Lord. How did the material universe come into being? What are you going to say when somebody asks you that and tries to shake your faith, young man, young woman, when you go to college? God spoke the word and a universe came into existence. If you don't believe that, you don't believe in God. If you don't believe that, you don't believe in Jesus. And if you don't believe in Jesus, you can't be saved. Therefore, if you believe in evolution, you're lost. You must believe in creation to be saved. There's a lot of loose salvation running around here in the world today in churches. No way. Let me prove my point, and I think I have in the last couple of sermons that I have preached. How did this material universe come into being? God spoke the word and a universe came into existence. If the invisible world had been formed out of materials which were subject to human observation, science could have traced it back to its origin. There would have been no room no need for faith. How are we saved? By grace are ye saved through faith. It is the gift of God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. There is an unseen force that does not submit itself to experimental science. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. And that unseen force is our faith. And the world's going to have to reckon with that one of these days, real soon, that there was an unseen force, and it was our faith, because when they can't get their feet off the ground, we're going to go sailing through the air because of our faith in Jesus Christ, Almighty God, and His great creation. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is seen. This is substance. Hey, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. They don't know it because they don't believe it. We believe it and we know it. How many of you know for sure that there's a God? Amen. You know for sure that there's a heaven? You know for sure there's a hell? You know for sure there are angels? You know for sure there's a holy city called the New Jerusalem? You know that for sure? How do you know it? Amen. By faith. You do not have proof. You've never been there. But it's there. It's there. And you know it. And I know it. And we all believe that. Praise God. Montaigne said, nothing is so firmly believed as what we least know. Nothing is so firmly believed as what we least know. Now, that's from the 1500s. He was a French essayist. From our science page, New Hope Christian School, page 97, page number 4. Listen to this. In order to prove a universal negative, a science would have to know about, observe, all conditions everywhere at the same instant. In other words, the scientist would have to be omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. That's all powerful, all knowing, and everywhere present. These, of course, are characteristics of God. Do you see why it is so foolish to say that science has disproved the possibility of miracles, or that there is no God? In order to scientifically disprove God or miracles, the scientist would have to be God. That's what your kids are learning at New Hope Christian School. Is that all right? Yeah. All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. They're not learning evolution. They're learning creation. Edward Conklin said, listen to this one. Some of you know this one. The probability of life originating from an accident, that's what evolution is, basically, is comparable to the probability of the unabridged dictionary resulting from an explosion in a printing shop. That's about how probable it is, brother. Praise the Lord. Through faith we understand. Aren't you glad that you understand something? Aren't you glad that you're not a fool? You know, Psalm 14:1 says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Aren't you glad you're not a fool? Amen. That you can walk up to anybody, no matter how educated they are, and you're not a fool? You don't have to take the back seat to them. I like what C.S. Lewis said. He said, he who has God in everything has no more than he who has God alone. Praise the Lord. I love things like that. I love those thinkers that come up with things like that. Praise God. Hebrews 11:3 is no flippant statement by some passive, lazy, ignorant man. No way. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. That's so sad. But Paul had to write it, and I'm so glad he did, and I'm so glad that I can read and that I have a copy of that letter to the Thessalonians. All men have not faith. So Jesus said, beware of men. Look out who you chum with. Look out who you listen to. Look out what you read, the magazines, the periodicals, the classes that you take in college or high school. Be careful what you read, little eyes. Be careful what you hear, little ears. I think the children sing. Amen, amen. So, 'cause all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, the Bible says. He shall establish you and keep you from evil. See where all this evil comes from, and see where you flounder about in your faith is when you don't have faith, or when your faith wanes and weakens. Amen. Faith is so real. Listen to this. That men will die for it. And I got to thinking about the evolutionists. I have never in my life heard of an evolutionist or read a story of an evolutionist dying for his faith in evolution. Have you ever heard of a martyr? An evolution martyr? Oh, I couldn't give up this doctrine. You can kill me, but I won't give it up. No, but Christians will hang on. Look at that United Pentecostal Church girl at Columbine High School, who was shot in the leg, fell down, and they said, do you still believe in Jesus? And she said, yes, I do. And they said, well, we'll send you to him, and put 3 more bullets in her head. And she went to heaven. Praise God. That's in the Pentecostal Herald, I believe. But I've never heard of an evolutionist dying for his faith in evolution. But praise God for young people that will say, even after shot, I still believe, praise God. Because you had a personal life-changing experience and you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's when it happened. Somebody said the man with an experience is never at the mercy of the man with an argument. Well, folks, we've had an experience. And I think we have a great argument too. And it's from our experience. We have faith in it, amen. I had a personal experience with Jesus, not a hallucination. Amen. Why do evolutionists, help me, brother, somebody help me. Why do evolutionists struggle so laboriously to prove that the earth is very, very, very old? Why do they do that? What's wrong with a 6,000-year world? Huh? 4,000 in the Old Testament, 2,000 in the New so far. What's wrong? What's wrong with a 6,000-year world? You know, oh, no, we can't believe in that. We just don't believe in that because 600 million years ago this happened, or a billion years ago this happened. You know what I came up with? I think it makes them feel safe if the earth is billions of years old. I think they feel safe from God's wrath, that all things are going to continue as they were from the beginning of the creation, but they would say from the beginning of evolution, I suppose. Okay, but let me tell you what Peter says here. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds, not contaminated by evolution, by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And some people that don't know their Bibles, even Christians, might fall for that stuff. They might believe that all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. But the Apostle Peter straightens this up and says, no way! All things do not continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And boy, I'm going to talk about that next time. I'm going to talk about God's deception. God deceiving people because they don't love the truth. They want to, and God will send them a lie, that they'll be damned because they don't love the truth. It's going to be interesting, let me tell you. Okay, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this, Peter says, they are willingly. It's their choice. Do you know atheism's a choice? They willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Listen to this. 2 Peter 3:7. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Wow. The heavens and the earth which are now. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And now, the heavens and the earth which are now. And then some of you will get that after a while. By the same word are kept in store. Okay, God gave his word, Noah, build an ark. I am going to destroy this earth. I'm going to destroy all the wicked in it. Right? That's what God said. That was God's word to Noah. I'm going to send a flood and destroy every living thing. So, it happened, just like he said. You see, God always keeps his word. God will keep, no matter what people philosophize, theorize, or think, or dream up, God will always keep his word. You can say, I don't believe in hell. That won't make the temperature down there 1 degree cooler. You can say, I don't believe in heaven. Oh, sitting around playing a harp. I baptized a guy that used to laugh at me for believing in heaven. I baptized him in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. He didn't laugh. He didn't laugh anymore when that big strong body of his became old and weak. Amen. And so, I think they feel safe from the wrath of God if they can say that the earth is so many hundreds or millions of thousands of years old, and it makes them feel safe from the wrath of God, because if it's real old, well, it won't be in our lifetime and we'll just escape it. No. And is it going to happen? Now, some people believe in a local flood. Have you ever read the arguments about the local flood? Oh, no, the flood waters didn't cover the whole earth. Not the whole earth, just Noah's area there. It was a local flood. Well, listen, let me reason with you, and I've said this before, that if it was a local flood, it's going to be a local fire. Because it's the same word which keeps it in store for destruction. If it's a local flood, a little local flood, I can't get out of here. Just a little local, we got a lot of carpet here, but it's just going to burn here. Just a little local flood. Well, then it's going to be a local fire. And so maybe if some of us can escape the wrath of God if we just leave town. But which town's going to burn? Huh? Oh, that's a good answer. Which country's going to burn? What continent's going to burn? Yes, sir. Amen. So, that's it, folks. There will be a universal fire, just like there was a universal flood. Some experts boast that they have discovered or are discovering where man came from. Can I tell you something from God Almighty? God says they haven't discovered anything. He says whatever they do know, God showed them. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That wasn't Martin Luther that said that. It was the Apostle Paul. The just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. Listen to this. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, listen to this, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, and the birds, and the four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their hearts. You know something, friend? Please, please listen to me, Christian. Even we Christians can be guilty of this. If we're going to insist that we're right, and dad and mom is wrong, we're right, and the pastor's wrong, we're right, and the Bible's wrong, we're right, we're going to have our way, and we're going to do our thing, and we're going to do it our way, God can give you up. 3 times in this chapter, he says, God gave them up, God gave them up, God gave them over. Listen to it. I begin reading there at the first one. Wherefore, God also gave them up. Ain't fooling with them no more. through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who says God's not against homosexuality and lesbianism? Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up. You want your own way? God just might let you have your own way. We have instances of that in the Bible. Judas wanted his own way, and all Jesus had to say to him, instead of cast the devil out of him, Jesus said, whatsoever thou doest, do quickly. God gave him up. I'll tell you, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And we better witness and witness and witness if we love somebody so that they're not lost, so that they can find Jesus Christ as their Lord and Master, and let Him run and rule their lives. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly. Somebody said to me, well, I was born a homosexual. And I said, well, I got good news for you. You can be born again. Amen. That's what Jesus said. Praise the Lord. Leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in the lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, here it is, third time, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And all they have waiting for them is hell in the lake of fire, unless they repent. Do men refuse to believe in God and creation because of a lack of evidence? Is that why? I trow not. That word trow, T-R-O-W, is in the Bible one time. And it means faith. So I trow not. I faith not. I have no faith in that. See, I trow not. Amen. Okay, Psalm 19. Listen to this. Maybe you want to read it with me. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 6. Powerful. Powerful. If you ever need your faith bolstered, if you ever get in an argument with an atheist or a debate or a discussion, like I said, we do have evidence that there is a God. And some of the greatest evidence is, I'm not going to speak about tonight, but let's just talk about this. It says in Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Well, let's say it this way. The heavens declare the existence of God, and the firmament showeth forth his existence. It all comes down to creation, folks. Creation's a powerful subject. Do you realize that it was God all alone? It was God all alone out there? I'm Jehovah. He said there's no gods before me, and there'll be no gods after me. That's oneness for sure. Amen. No room for Trinitarianism there. And he says, I'm standing out here all alone. I look beside me, I look to this side, I look here, I look there, I look there, I look there. I don't see any God, and I've got perfect eyesight. I can see from one end of the universe to the other. I can see everything instantly at once. The heavens declare the existence of God. The firmament showeth his existence. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. There's no place you can go where there isn't proof of the existence of God. That's what the psalmist is saying. There's no place that you can go and not find the existence of God manifested. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of heaven, the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Listen to Romans again. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Read Psalm 19. He's probably referring to that. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are indefensible. So that they are without excuse. Is there really a lack of evidence? Somebody, when church is over, go on outside and look up. Count the stars. And then come and report to us how many there are. We'll be waiting a long time. Might bury you before you're done counting. Is there a lack of evidence, or is there an abundance of rejection? no lack of evidence. It's just rejection. If I can say I don't believe in God, and I've said this before, then I can live my life the way I want to. I can order my own life if there's no God, because then if there's no God, there's no judgment. And then I don't have to stand before the judgment seat. And then what's wrong with sin? What's wrong with parties? What's wrong with a good time? What's wrong with getting drunk and fornicating and adulterating? What's wrong with all those things? You just live, eat, drink, be merry. Tomorrow you die. No. Some people don't know. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after death, the judgment. There was a group of men in the place where I worked for 20 years, and some prominent person in Eau Claire had died, and customers were talking out there, and you wait on one customer at a time, and then in between customers, they were talking about, where did this man go when he died? Does anybody know what happens after death? I couldn't hold it. I couldn't hold it. I have a Bible up on the shelf. Pulled it out. Hebrews 9:27. I said, brethren, or customers, I said, friends, look at here. Men, the Bible says right here in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after death. I know what happens after death. You're reading it yourself with your own eyeballs. Amen. The judgment. I said, every one of you are going to stand in judgment before God after you die. That's what happens after death. And of course, everybody was broken up over this guy's death, so nobody started a war with me. What do you think? I think there's an abundance of rejection myself. I think that people have rejected truth. They've rejected the Bible. They've rejected His truth. They've rejected His word. And now, you know, they even reject us. And Jesus said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just receive me. Atheists are atheists by choice. Atheists, I've met so many of them, I hope they gravitate to me. You know, I love talking to atheists. Brian Wiseman was an atheist. He's in heaven today. Because his unbelief, he traded for belief, faith in God. Amen. But atheists will never make a fool out of me. You know why? I know that. Because God's already labeled them fools. The fool that said in his heart, there is no God. I do not stand in awe at their intelligence, at their education, at their theory of evolution, at their proof that there is no God. Foolishness. Foolishness. We can prove there's a God a whole lot better than they can prove there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, let me tell you what a fool is. He's an atheist. An atheist doesn't believe in God. They are corrupt, God said. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. You know, some people say, you know, we'd like to hear about the love of Jesus. Just tell us about the love of Jesus. We don't want to hear this. We don't want to hear this. Okay, then, throw it away. I'm reading from here. I'm reading from the book. I'm reading from the Bible. I don't condemn anybody. How can I condemn anybody when God's already condemned them? The only way out of that condemnation is to come to Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. God will make fools out of atheists, not atheists make fools out of God. But let's take a break, Brother Steve, for some refreshing news here. This is really refreshing. I heard on the radio several years ago now, I really should have given such great news sooner, but for some reason I just ran across the newspaper clipping, and I heard it on the radio, that some scientists are claiming that they now have scientific proof that there does exist a supernatural being. And all the Christians say, wow, I'm going to wear a necktie to church today. They're really, you know, my faith hasn't been in vain, because the scientists said they're really does exist a supernatural being. And people will stand up and listen to that. They won't read this and listen to it. But they'll listen to some character that says, yeah, we've discovered that there really is some basis for believing in a supernatural being. And I got holy laughter when I heard that and read it. I just laughed. Isn't that refreshing? Wow, isn't that great? We now have a reason to believe in God. Science approves it. Now you Christians can walk up to the scientists and say, yep, brother scientist, I really believe there's a basis for believing in God. We don't need that stuff. How many need that? I don't need that. I don't need that to bolster my faith. I don't need that to strengthen my faith at all. I don't care if they find Noah's Ark. That won't build my faith. If they find Noah's Ark, it will not affect my faith one iota. I already believe it. I already believe it because it's already written in this book. Hallelujah. And like I preached in my last message on evolution, Jesus Christ confirmed all of those attacked, hard-to-believe stories like Jonah and the whale. Jesus confirmed that story was true. Remember Lot's wife, Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus confirmed that that story was true. The flood. Jesus confirmed that that story was true. All these hard-to-believe, ridiculous stories. I told you here last Sunday, but I told one man one time, and he said, a fish couldn't swallow a man. I said, if God made that fish, a minnow could swallow a man. Right. Praise God. I love my God. I love to exalt Him. I just love to lift Him up. Praise the Lord. So science says it's now okay. We can believe there's a basis for believing in a supernatural God. But I thought, wow, we should have had a great revival. A great revival of faith in America. What happened? What happened to the revival? There's proof now that God might exist. Folks, we're not saved by proof, we're saved by faith. Amen. We are not saved by proof, we are saved by faith. Praise God. Amen. Amen. In the first place, I would like to know what's so hard about believing in God. What is so hard about believing in God? Maybe you don't entertain some of the circles of people that I do, but I get into conversations wherever I go. I love to talk to people. And I don't care if they beat me down. I don't care if they don't like what I believe. I smile at them and put my arm around them and, good luck, buddy, good luck. And he's grumbling like that, and I'm smiling. And, like when you go into work, when I used to go into work, and I'd come in on Monday morning, and I'm just a bouncing in, you know, and say, good morning, Joan. And we had a guy named Joe Miller, you know, and Joe says, what's so good about it? You got a tomato juice? That's what they drink for hangovers. At least they used to. And I said, where'd you go last night? How come yours in such terrible shape, sounding so ugly? Oh, went to the bar and I got drunk. I said, I went to church. I got drunk too. But it didn't have a hangover effect like you've got. You better come to my bar. You better come to my church. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's fun. Isn't it fun? It's fun. Fun to tell people there's a better life. There's a better way. There's a Lord Jesus who loves him. I don't think that believing in God is so hard, that it's so difficult. Faith in God to me is easy. Jesus said my yoke is easy. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. You know the difference in easy and hard? Just be a sinner. That's a hard life. Oh, Brother Tandrick, somebody came to me one time, not that long ago. If you only knew the price that I'm paying to follow Jesus and be a Christian. And this hard-hearted, cruel pastor ignored those tears and said, sister, if you only knew what Jesus Christ went through so you could be a Christian, you wouldn't be talking like that. People that think being a Christian is difficult need to get back to an altar. Amen. They need to meet the real Lord Jesus Christ. They need to have a real experience with God. If anybody here thinks it's hard to be a Christian, you're wrong. It's hard to be a sinner. Depends on who you're devoted to. Depends on who you love with all your heart, soul, and mind. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Well, somebody said much learning doth make thee mad. No, much prayer maybe. Much love for Jesus. We're not saved by proof. We're saved by faith. Yeah. Keep your faith. Amen. Amen. We got to fill our hearts with faith, not our heads with facts. And that's what you get in the classroom. And they're not even facts. You ever read an evolution book? It says perhaps, and it says maybe, and it says hypothetically speaking. And I read that stuff. And I went to get gas one time at the gas station. Went down here when it was down, Erickson down here on Water Street, and pulled in, and one of the clerks inside reading a college book on evolution. And I said, what are you reading? And I looked over and said, oh, I got to study for a test. And I looked at it, I said, oh, what does this mean? I said, I've never studied evolution. I said, what does this mean? It says, perhaps. And, well, I shook their faith in evolution. I shook their faith up terrible in evolution. Praise the Lord. My wife remembers the time when we went by they were excavating for fossils, bones, things like that, off North Dakota, South Dakota, out west a ways. And of course, as my manner is, I got in a discussion with them. And I want to tell you something. If you know God and you have faith in God, there's not an evolutionist that can stand before you. And that's what I want everybody in this church to be able to do. First, you got to know for yourself. Know for yourself. And if you know for yourself, you know. Somebody said, I know that I know that I know that I know that I know. And that's the place you got to come to, where you know. Amen. Praise the Lord. Aren't you thrilled that you don't require scientific proof to know that there's a God? Aren't you glad that you believe in creation? Amen. Aren't you glad that you know the Creator by name? Somebody said one time, when you oneness Pentecostals pray, Brother Mark, when you oneness Pentecostals pray, he said, you always pray to Jesus, and we always pray to the Father. Can you explain that? The explanation is, we know the Father's name. We call our Father by name. Praise the Lord. The everlasting Father, Jesus. Wonderful, wonderful. And so the world says, show me and I'll believe. And God says, believe and I'll show you. You know why so many people are so ignorant about a lot of things? They read it, don't understand it. Maybe cross it out. They don't follow through with meditation and study. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Meditate day and night in the Word. You know why? They read it and they don't believe it until they understand it. They'll run here and there, to and fro, buy books, go to the bookstore, they'll ask pastors, they'll ask maybe theologians, Bible college professors, they'll say, what does this mean? What does this mean? I don't understand it. They went to Dwight L. Moody one time with that problem. Somebody said, Mr. Moody, read this. He read the passage. He said, uh-huh. And the lady said, well, what does it mean? He says, I don't know. She said, well, what do you do with it then? He says, I believe it. Do you know what to do when something's in the Bible and you don't understand it? Believe it. Jesus said, if you believe, I'll show you. The world says, show me and I'll believe. Jesus says, believe and I'll show you. Can we stand?